Hello, Dakota Territory. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the journey we call Dakota Trails and Tales. Jump on in the Loose Tails Fiddling Chuck Wagon. Then and only then, we will tool the region, the country, the globe. We will look at the news stories of the day. But at the end of the journey, it is going to be up to you by yourself to determine how and if this information might actually affect us living. Living in a little piece of heaven. Sustainable aviation fuel was on my mind today because I've learned yet another lie. I'm just going to go back through some of this because I think it's important in today's world. You know, for how many years? Well, let's just go back to the 90s. In the 90s, we have all of these farmer groups coming together and we're going to save the American farm because we're going to have farmer-owned ethanol plants. Well, that didn't work so good. They're still in existence, but the farmers don't own them. In fact, the farmers took it upon the chin. Of the top 10 ethanol-producing systems in the United States, only one, Glacial Lakes in South Dakota, is farmer-owned. The rest are owned by the poets of the world. How about that? For a failure. Then we come along in 2005, we pass a renewable fuel standard. So, okay, we didn't make the ethanol plants work with the farmer-owned programs. And by the way, here's the worst part of that story. I talked to one guy, lost $500,000. I don't know what the total losses were. But then these petroleum companies, poet, call it whatever you want, ethanol company, the largest in the nation, come in and they buy these plants, the infrastructure for what? 20 cents on the dollar? I don't have an actual number on that, but that would be a typical percentage, the 80-20 rule. We'll buy it for 20% and just give you some salvage money. So the farmer builds the investment. The farmer ultimately goes broke because for whatever reason, and there are more than just one, but there's only one of the top 10 ethanol producing facilities farmer owned. So the farmer goes broke. They sell it to these larger petroleum companies for 20% on the dollar. And then we come into 2005, and we're going to save the farmer. We're going to implement the renewable fuel standard, and all fuel is going to have at least 15% ethanol. Now, why is it at the pump today, the price of gasoline with a 15% E15, not E85. Don't be confused. I'm not confused. E15, which is standard, and any vehicle can run that. There's 30, 40 cents difference in price. Is ethanol cheaper? No. Somebody's getting a subsidy to subsidize the ethanol because of the renewable fuels standard. So here we have ethanol subsidies making the difference. And I understand the blender's credit and all that is gone, but you have no explanation for the difference between E15 and no ethanol of being 30, 40, sometimes 50 cents different. Why? Because we got to help the farmer. I'm not opposed to helping the farmer. I'm 100% opposed to a subsidy to get it done. So 2005, the renewable fuel standard is going to make this all work for the farmer. Now we have farmers, corn producing farmers telling us that if we don't get this CO2 pipeline, if we don't get this CO2 tax credit, we're not to the ethanol plant, we're not going to get that extra dollar per bushel. Who came up with this number of a dollar per bushel? Where and how do you generate a dollar more per bushel without understanding supply, demand, and all of these other things? How does that happen? Here's what we need to do. Trent, we need to get that extra dollar because sustainable aviation fuel is going to be our safe haven. You know, it didn't work when the farmer built the ethanol plants in the 90s. It didn't work with the sustainable fuel, renewable fuel standard of 2005. But now they're going to help us and they're going to make sure we can continue to get a fair price for our corn crop. Really? Because the first one of these overly subsidized sustainable fuel, aviation fuel plants is coming online now in the state of Georgia. LanzaJet, it's called LanzaJet. LanzaJet Incorporated in Georgia is coming online to produce sustainable aviation fuel with sugarcane from Brazil, not even using American corn ethanol to make this happen. And if you look at the Department of Energy, I went and I looked and I spent a lot of time this morning looking through the Department of Energy and this worldwide quest to be net zero by 2050 when it comes to aviation. We have got to curb these emissions in the aviation world. Guess what? The Department of Energy acknowledges that 2% of global emissions come from aviation. 2%. Of the transportation sector, 12% of the global emissions come from aviation. So what exactly are we trying to accomplish? Oh, wait, there's more. When it comes to sustainable aviation fuel, you can only use in this ethanol process 50% of the mix. That's the max. The max can only be 50% ethanol. It is accepted that the standard will be between 30 and 38. The low end of the spectrum will be at 10. So it's quite possible that it will be at 10. Why? Because at 10, you still get the subsidy of $1.25 per gallon produced. But the cost of producing sustainable aviation fuel with ethanol, whether it be from corn or sugar, or corn or from sugar cane, is 2 to 3 times more per gallon to produce. And our best case scenario is that we will cut our emissions by 50%. That's the goal. Department of, all of the stuff I just shared with you is readily available at the Department of Energy website. You can go check it out, except for they don't talk about the LanzaJet Incorporated that is now going to use sugarcane. By the way, the guy who is hoodwinking the entire ethanol world in the United States, I should say the entire United States ethanol world, into being a part of this CO2 capture and putting it in a pipeline is a guy named Bruce Rastetter, who happens to own 6 ethanol plants in Brazil. What part of this is good for American agriculture? And then, of course, we're leaving out of the equation the inherent dangers that come along with putting CO2 in a pipeline. About putting CO2. Okay, let's forget about the sustainable aviation fuel for a moment. Let's just talk about putting CO2 in the atmosphere underneath, you know, Oliver or Mercer County or wherever, or the Denver Formation under Cheyenne and Julesburg, Colorado. Hey, let's just talk about that for a moment. How many of you are familiar with Lake Nyos, N-Y-O-S, in 1986 in Cameroon? Lake Nyos had a naturally occurring seepage of CO2 come through the lake when you mix CO2 and hydrogen, which, by the way, is how they make sustainable aviation jet fuel. Mixing hydrogen and ethanol or CO2, that's how they make it. Everything died within a 10-mile stretch. I think I'm told it is called carbonic acid. And if you don't understand the dangers that come along with this, and now we also know that Cornell University has documented in the calendar year 2024, in January, they came out with a study that said, oh, it turns out that it's not water, hot water coming from the center of the earth that causes a volcano. It's actually CO2 mixing with water to cause a volcano. This is a dangerous project. It's dangerous from the standpoint of the amount of money it takes from a subsidy to make all of this work. It's dangerous from the amount of CO2. And the whole premise here is that CO2 is causing global warming. CO2 is used to make dry ice because it goes to 100 degrees below zero like nothing flat. Oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot about the millions and millions of gallons of water that it takes to cool the CO2 after the process of ethanol or coal-fired power plants, cool the CO2 to get it to 32 degrees to put it in a compressed pipeline, which requires 35% of the energy produced at the facility to compress it and get it in the pipeline and get it to flow somewhere to erupt. This is simply what we're talking about doing in a project that is subsidizing the destruction of the United States of America as we know it. And it all comes back to plant food that God put in the atmosphere at 430 parts per million. We in the greenhouse put it at 800 parts per million so that we can encourage plant growth. But yet we have been convinced that burying it a mile and a half deep in earth is a good idea. Dakota Trails and Tales say thank you to Certified Piedmontese, the most tender beef on the planet. 100% Great Plains cattlemen working together to produce a tender beef supply. CPBeef.com is where you order. And nitric oxide is a key component of healthy living. It's essential. It's not a luxury. It's essential. Get more details about the science behind nitric oxide and the cardiovascular benefit at NO2U.com. Dakota Trails and Tales. We'll be back with more after this.